you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, you ready? Let's go.
From Fox 4 News in Kansas City.
Are we rolling? Are we on? Hello?
I'm Nick Vassos. This is Signal Hill.
Hi, everybody. It's Nick Vassos once again on Signal Hill, and another chance to talk about one of the KC originals and one of the more strategic areas of our city. We're talking about the plaza, specifically the west side of the plaza, and we're talking to JJ's and the owner of JJ's, Mr. Jimmy Franze. It's good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while, Jimmy.
Nick, it has been a while. It's great to be here.
Yeah. I was first introduced to Jimmy's, I think back in the 1990s, I was on a job interview with the owner of the Comets and Mr. Zoran Savic back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Zoran's one of my best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear friends ever since he moved to Kansas
absolutely.
City.
Absolutely. And that was how I was introduced to JJ. Such a great place. It was just, we had such a fabulous dinner. And, of course, the restaurant has got so many awards over the years. I don't know. My story is probably like many people's stories when it comes to JJ's, about people coming down and visiting and, you know, celebrating every milestones, right?
You know, Nick, after you've been in business for 35 years, especially in the restaurant business, there are generational stories that come up. The kids of parents that came in when they were little ones are now coming in with their families. I mean, it's been a delightful scenario to watch unfold.
Yeah, and so. You and your brother are still in ownership, yes. Partner together,
yeah,
right?
Dave and I, my brother.
And, you know, back in 1982, the restaurant, of course, was named JJ's, but is it named after you?
No. It's a story I tell quite often. Mm-hmm. I was a partner in the Dos Hombres Mexican chain back in the late 70s. And there were four partners, and we had split up. I kept a restaurant called Thirsty's Cantina in Westport, and the other guys took my shares in Dos Hombres, and we parted ways. Well, those three ex-partners started a restaurant called J.J. Mullane's in what used to be Don Pepe's. And I think Don Pepe is well-known in the city.
Yeah.
It's kind of... whether it's notorious or infamous, but Don Pepe's well known. He was a great chef. And they took over his restaurant, and they just didn't make it work. It lasted about a year. And I'd always loved that location, mm-hmm. and just loved the style of it and the building it was in. And so I bought it, and I thought, well, what am I going to call this? And I wasn't going to keep the name J.J. Mullane's. Obviously, it had failed, so I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I thought... JJ's, that sounds pretty good. So that's how JJ's came about. And it's funny, right until just before the explosion that ended that location, there was a window in the front of the restaurant. We had it etched out, one of the big bay windows, and you could still see the J.J. Mullane's, even though we had it frosted over.
Wow.
For all those years, it was still there. So that's how J.J.'s came about. It's not, but I did gain a nickname the day I named it J.J.'s.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy, did you notice early on the success that you were having? Did you know that it would go on to last over three decades? Did you realize that?
No idea. And as a matter of fact, right at first, it wasn't working for me. I'd come out of the Mexican food industry. Mm-hmm. This was what I like to call today contemporary dining. I eschew the term fine dining because I don't think it works in today's marketplace. So contemporary dining. And it was new for me, and I had to learn a lot. And so we struggled for the first couple of years as it started to gain a track record and start to become popular and then get some awards. you know, I knew it was going to work. I had no idea it was going to last 35 years. That's just really in today's world, an independent to go 35 years is pretty remarkable. Not to pat myself on the back, but it's you don't see it very often Mm-mm. these days.
It's been quite a run, and it continues to this day. And one of the things that a lot of people tell me about JJ's, and maybe that's part of your success, word of mouth, you know, gets around. People say you got to go check out JJ's. They have an incredible wine list, and their food is great. How did you expand your wine list to where people were like coming down here and coming down to JJ's and enjoying some of the wines there?
Well, Nick, you know, it's an interesting question. I've been into wine since college, and obviously the Mexican food side of the business doesn't really lend itself to a big wine list. You can have some wines today. I mean, wine goes with all kinds of food, but I had always been a collector and a student of wine, and I'm still a student of wine today. And so I was really teething at the bit to have a restaurant that could have a wine list, and started out very small. It was, you know, there were about 30 selections, and it just grew. People responded to it. You know, they liked having a lot of selections. They mm-hmm. liked being able to come in and learn about wines. And so it just had a life of its own after a while till it became what it is today.
Do you have a favorite wine, or is that like saying who your favorite child is?
Yeah, you know, I have favorite regions.
Okay.
I like California wines, but they're not the top of my list. Italian wines are probably my personal favorite. Although I do love champagnes, it's kind of a toss up between French champagnes and Italian mm-hmm. Tuscan super Tuscans. So I have regions that I like, but no, I don't have a particular. I have some go to wines, but would I say that they're my favorites or not my favorites? No, I just like wine in general. But I do like a good glass of sparkling wine.
Oh, absolutely. Jimmy Franze, owner of JJ's, is with us here on Signal Hill. Let's talk a little bit about the food here at this broadcast. Just before you and I came on, your chef, Julio Juarez, put together an amazing tomahawk chop bone-in ribeye. It's the most flavorful, delicious thing that I have tasted in a long time. And you mentioned it, contemporary dining. You know, it's not, you know, JJ's to me is not a place that's like, you know, like over the top or stuffy or anything like that. It offers, you know, casual contemporary dining. And I think that's kind of shows in your menu that you've got.
Well, you know, Nick, it's interesting. When we moved to the new location, and it'll be 5 years in November. Time goes so fast. I can't believe it. But one of the debates we were having, we didn't have it right at first. We were going to be a white tablecloth restaurant. We've mm-hmm. always been cloth napkins. But I would say that the dining scene in general has changed so radically in the last 5 years.
That's interesting.
That, you know, you see a lot of really nice restaurants. They just have wood tabletops, no tablecloths. And I think the millennial generation, which is, you know, we're looking to get them in our restaurant. They're the young, you know, mm-hmm. sophisticated diners. They kind of eschew the idea of fine dining. So at one time we toyed with the idea of getting rid of tablecloths, and we decided not to, but it occurred to me that fine dining just wasn't a term that described what we were trying to do. Our cuisine is multinational. It's, you know, we have Asian dishes, we have Italian dishes, we have French dishes, a lot of Nouveau American California, and the dining scene, like I said, it just changed so much that contemporary cuisine seemed to mm-hmm. to match what we're doing, and Julio's having a lot of fun with it. I have to say, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. He's been there for a couple of years. So yeah. You got the wine right, and so you've got the food right, and now this combination is inspiring a lot of loyalty. You're developing friendships from all over the city, from dignitaries. You're probably having some Some of the city leaders come through JJ's. Athletes are coming through. People from out of town are coming through JJ's. And this is really just it's creating JJ's as a place to be on the West Side. Talk about that time when maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years down, when you're getting things right and you're developing these relationships with people in the community, and you're saying this is a place I'm proud of. This is a great place.
Well, you know, I've always loved the restaurant business for that angle. I've had national politicians in the restaurant. Yesterday afternoon, Sly James was in with Cindy McCain for lunch.
Yes, she was recently in town. She spoke at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. Sly's been a good friend forever. Now that he's not mayor, I see him even more, which is fun. it turned out, and I didn't realize that when I got in the restaurant business over 40 years ago, that one of the benefits, one of the real perks, is you get to meet people on all levels of culture and politics that you would never have an opportunity to, and they get a kick out of talking to the owner, so it's a lot of fun.
A mutual friend of ours, Zoran Savic, and even Don Kincaid, when he owned the Comets a little bit later on, frequented your restaurant. And, you know, at the time in the early 1980s, when the Kansas City Comets just exploded on the scene, you know, they were more popular than the Kings, than the Kansas City Kings. And I've had the fortune of listening to so many of the stories, and I've been down there with Zoran and with Jim Schwab and with all of the players down there at Jimmy's, and I know there's been a lot of stories, not just with the Comets, but with the Royals and the Chiefs and so many fabulous stories of times down at JJ's. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, you know, one really fun story, and it's turned into a great friendship, is the day George Brett was brought up from the minors to Kansas City. He was in Thirsty's Cantina. That's where I first met him. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Royals players used to hang out there. A lot of the Chiefs players did. And George came up to the end of the bar, and we just met and kind of getting to know each other. And I was behind the bar that night, and he brings out his can of dip, his chewing tobacco, takes the top off. He said, "Could you put a little Kahlua in this for me?" So I got the bottle and poured a little Kahlua in. And George is a good friend of mine. We've been friends ever since. And the Chiefs players, Clint Hurdle, bartended during the players' strike. So did a couple of the players.
Oh, that's a neat story.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun stories. When Joe Montana was in town, he used to come in JJ's, and he would call his wife from the upstairs office because he didn't want to have the background noise. I don't know if he was telling her he was out on the town or he was in his hotel room, but that happened a number of times. So, yeah, there's a lot of stories both that I'm able to tell and that I will never tell.
Maybe someday when we're away from the microphones, they'll get one of those stories out of you.
Yes.
Of course, in contrast with so many great memories and so many people coming to the restaurant and enjoying it and sharing, February 19th, 2013 changed everything.
Yeah.
That was the explosion, and that was a time that shook the plaza. I know it shook you and your brother. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time, Jimmy, when we would talk to you, all you thought about, all you wanted to talk about were your dedicated employees that had been there for so long, and of course, the victim, God bless her name.
Megan Kramer.
Megan Kramer, thank you. How often do you think about that day?
Well, you know, it's something I'll never forget, mm-hmm. obviously. Luckily, I was out of town that morning and that afternoon, or I would have been in the building, and there's no telling what might have happened. But by the time I got back late that night, I talked to my brother, and he had warned me what I was going to see. You know, that's the kind of experience in your life that definitely is life-altering. It will impact you, and it's something that I will never forget. I think the good side of it, and I always like to dwell on the positive side, is that we came back from it. A lot of my employees, really good people, came back, and we got to do it again, and we're still doing it. Obviously, the tragedy was a loss of life, but a lot of employees that were injured and had had trauma, or, there was nothing that they, besides the psychological scars, mm-hmm. which we all have, the physical scars won't be carried by many people through. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You get through it. You reflect back. You ask me, do I think about it? Well, of course yeah. I do. Not every day, thank goodness. But there are some good memories about it, too. The way this community stepped up and came to support us was unbelievable. It made me very proud of this town. And so, you know, when I think back about mm-hmm. it, I dwell on the positive, on the things that came out of it that were good.
The countless fundraisers for Megan Kramer, for those that were injured, and you say some of them are still with your restaurant now. Yeah. How are those who were injured in the explosion, how are they doing?
Yeah, you know, there's no physical scars, but psychologically, mm-hmm. everybody.
For sure.
You know, when we occasionally get together and talk about it, you know, it was a tragedy. It was pretty staggering. But they're all doing very well. I will say that.
And it was that night that Mayor James, he was there after yes. after the yep. explosion. I think he got there before you did. And
yep.
I remember
yep.
the mayor talking that, hey, this is a strategic place in Kansas City. This is a part of our city, and our city has been hurt. And I'm here to do whatever I can to help the city heal, yeah. which I thought was really cool from Mayor James.
You know, the whole town, like I said, yeah. it was from the highest levels to just the people that used to come in and frequent it. So supportive. So supportive of my staff, because a lot of people all of a sudden didn't have a job, and they all have families, or a lot of them did. And that through the whole thing, I think what I take away from it is just how a community can come together. And this community mm-hmm. did come together. I'll never be able to thank them enough.
And you've been in the Polsinelli building, as you say, for, almost 5 years or five yep, years now? Yep.
We moved across the street. It's ironic. It was the cabling of a fiber optic line that to the Polsinelli building that caused the gas explosion, which the day I signed the lease to move into the building, I thought, this is irony at its worst. That building had there, a 13-story building had been built and torn down, and a new building built in a 10-year span. And it was a very difficult 10 years,
oh
I have to
goodness.
Say.
Oh, my goodness.
And the day I signed the lease and we started construction, I just thought, this is about as ironic as everything that's happened in the last couple of years. But we've been there 5 years. 5 years in November. It's been interesting. We don't have a true storefront. We have signage, but I'm on the lobby level, which is one floor up from street level on the Roanoke side. When we did that, I didn't realize how much I would have to really work to overcome not having the storefront that I had when we were across the street. Also being in an iconic 90-year-old building that looked just like the Country Club Plaza. I was a little piece of the plaza,
yeah,
off the plaza. But we're having a great time with it, you know. Got a chance to start all over. Everything is new. So a lot of my staff from the old restaurant are still with me. And I think the food, I don't know, we laugh. I think the food's a little better. Maybe it's because we have all new kitchen equipment. Some of that equipment was getting a little old across the street. We had been there 28 years.
What, was there any thought about going somewhere else other than the plaza?
You know, I looked all over the city. Okay. When it took me about 6 months to decide that, yeah, I'd go back and do it again. And no, I looked on the plaza. I looked at a couple spots on the plaza. I think somewhere in the vicinity of Midtown was always going to be the choice. It just worked out that there was a space that I thought really suited what we were looking to do.
Yeah.
Right across the street.
And how often are you there?
I'm there every day.
Every day?
Yeah, I don't do the late nights like I used to. I'm in a relationship with a woman that would probably not put up with that. But I'm on site every day. You know, I love the business, and I love making it work. So,
well, one of KC Originals, 35 years
at JJ's.
Wow. At JJ's, and keep it going as long as you can.
Nick, I will. Thank you so very much. This was great, Nick.
Hey, if you haven't been to JJ's, folks, go down and see JJ's. And if you get there early enough, you might get to meet Jimmy Francais. Jimmy, it's great to see you.
Nick, thank you.
We wish the best of the luck, and we thank you for sharing some stories about a great restaurant that's been in our town for over 3 decades. We thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Nick.
Jimmy Francais, the owner of JJ's, part of Kansas City Originals. You can find Signal Hill wherever you find a good podcast. We're available on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. We have all of our podcasts on our website at fox4kc.com/podcasts. And if you're a Facebook person, you can go to our Fox 4 podcast page. Be sure to hit the like button, and you will be notified whenever there is a new podcast that drops. Again, thanks to Jimmy Francais, the owner of JJ's on the west side of the plaza. Thanks for listening to this edition of Signal Hill. I'm Nick Bassos. We'll talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.